In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the last two series of two talks I did last week, we were talking about the power of the Word. I want to continue that thought, but in a slightly different way. There is a moment, it's described by George Steiner this way: the break of the covenant between Word and world, which constitutes one of the very few genuine revolutions of spirit in Western history and which defines modernity itself. See, does the Word have anything to do with the world? You see, that was taken for granted until this is the Kantian era. See, the words are words, the world is the world, and we're not quite sure. And notice that then the center of activity becomes knowing. Whereas for the ancients and for modern philosophy, modern Catholic philosophy, it's not knowing, it's acting. And that's where you get that whole insight of John Paul II. Person in act, or as it's the English translation, the acting person. Reality is in the action as well, maybe more so than the word. Huh? It's about that I want to talk now. But I want it slightly different. That is, I wanted us to be looking at what are we doing? We're preaching, yes, but we're also teaching. And I want to just reflect on that for a moment. Again, this is from tradition. Aquinas this time, and he has a little treatise today, Magistro, but he also has something in the Summa. Can one man teach another? How does he do that? Does he pour knowledge into his head? What's that process by which one person teaches another? And Aquinas says, was based on a tradition, but he says it so clearly. A teacher presents to the student that process by which he arrived at the truth. And he does it in a way which induces in the student that same process, so that the student arrives at the truth. The truth is not poured into his head. Teaching is that process, and so is preaching. That process which induces in the other that whole process by which truth is acquired. And it has to be the other person has to be doing it. And the teacher is the one, midwife is one of the terms they use, you see. The teacher induces that process in the listener by which he, she arrived at this truth, and induces that process so that the other person, following the words, has the process and arrives at a personal acquisition of the truth. That's teaching. Now, you know, you can memorize what the teacher is saying and give it back and be no brighter at the beginning than you were at the end. But the thing I'm talking about here, you see, is how preaching is teaching. That is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we arrive at a certain interior experiential knowledge of the truth, the gospel, the other readings as well. And then, by a word process, we transmit, we induce in the other person. I just don't present teaching as not just facts. If I'm teaching physics, and I say water starts to expand at 4 degrees centigrade, that's a fact. That's not teaching. You're now in possession of a fact you didn't have before. The teaching is inducing in the pupil that thought process. That's why, you know, when we're in high school and college, they make us do experiments. Now, we all know what we're going to arrive at. The scientists arrived at that 100, 200 years ago. But we go through the process, and that makes it our own. Well, teaching is always that process of inducing in the other the process by which the first person arrived at the truth, so that the second person, through the symbolic presentation, will have induced in them the process. Otherwise, and golly, if you're a teacher, you know this, some kids come in, kids, they can be 40, and they'll repeat what I told them, but you can tell that they've never acquired it. They didn't go through the process of possessing that reality as knowledge themselves, you see? And so, a preacher is in that sense a teacher. Now, he doesn't have to rely on himself, because a preacher is being moved and hopefully endowed by the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who induces that process in the other and enlightens him or her so it can be grasped. So what I'm talking about now, you see, is this notion of the preacher as teacher. And it's so important because it shows you that if everybody is very moved by what I say and they're very happy and they're even going to go home and try it, I'm a failure. They have to possess the truth. And then, as self-starters, yield to that truth and change their lives. Now, sometimes it's very dramatic. I don't know why I was thinking about this today. I was way out west someplace. I was on my way to California, but I think by this time I was in Nevada or someplace. I didn't drive the whole way. And so I went in and asked, you know, it was Sunday, would the pastor like some help? I'd like to say Mass. He said, yeah, take the 8:30 or the 10 or whatever he said. Well, I did. And after Mass, I did the best I could. A woman came back weeping, and something of the truth that I was trying to mediate had touched her so deeply that she was just so grateful. And I stood there in awe, because I'd never seen that happen that profoundly in my life. That something that I knew and rejoiced in had so touched her that it had changed her life. That's normal preaching. So none of my stuff is not normal either. Then she wanted to give me $100 bill for all the help I'd been to. I said, no, no, no. She said, please take it. So I took it. But you see, that was a successful sermon. Why? Because the person was delighted. The person was consoled. No, because the person was in possession of the truth. And that's, you see, so every homily is as it were, also teaching. It's trying to induce in the other person the process by which they arrive at the truth. And they possess the truth, that it's their own. And when that happens, you see, then that truth can become the principle of action, which is what prudence is, taking what's known speculatively and making it the conscious principle of action. If it's just exciting and everybody claps and they all go home, it's a failure, you see? Now, I'm going to read a little bit. Revelation in God's historical acts, that's what I'm trying to talk about now, as part of what we do. How do we mediate what happened when that man died? He's hanging on the cross. He is the Word of God incarnate. He's been suffering all his life, but now, in an incredible way, for a couple of days, and now it's culminating in this 3 hours of hanging on the cross. And then he dies in an act of love. Now, the whole point of the Eucharist is to make present Jesus Christ himself, fixed forever in the act of love in which he died, and which he communicates to us through the Eucharist. Preaching is analogous to that. In presenting Jesus in the act of love in which he died. And so Ratzinger, in this particular section I'm going to read right now, I'm recounting what he's saying. In telling his memoirs, Joseph Ratzinger describes a fundamental insight which he derived from the study of St. Bonaventure. He did his doctorate on Bonaventure. Revelation now appeared no longer simply as a communication of truths to the intellect, but as a historical action of God in which the truth becomes gradually revealed. So it's an action of God modifying us. Now, God does not have to induce in us the process by which he arrived at the truth, because he is the truth. But it does induce this process. And that's what preaching is, you see. This statement of Ratzinger opens up the whole reality of person as it has been incipiently studied in both Bondelian and phenomenological terms. I don't want to get too complicated, but okay. Those acts which are intrinsically historical must be passed on in literature, and more specifically in narrative. That's why so much of the Bible is narrative. And narrative is the literary presentation of a completed action. I did my doctorate on that. That's why I know what all that is about. That is, act becomes word. The word does not merely report the act, but contains and mediates it. That's the point, you see. Because it is the word, the act, existing as the act of God, existing as word, and Word of God, when we preach, we are mediating the act of God through the Word of God as we have let it influence us. That's why we have to be praying so much. Okay. So, the Bible in its essential parts, the Torah and the Gospels, is fundamentally narrative. It's presenting the acts of God verbally. The Bible, you know, the reality mediated by the narrative provides authority and energy to the reflective and prayerful parts as well, the Psalms, and to the Scripture's moral teaching that derives from the revelational acts and participates in that act. Now, Ratzinger describing this, I'll end this part with this quote. This is a quote from Ratzinger. He wasn't Pope at the time. It's his book, his memoirs. Revelation is always a concept denoting an act. The word refers to the act in which God shows himself, not to the objectified result of this act. You see, it's the act and not just the effect. And because this is so, the receiving subject is also a part of the concept of revelation. There's no revelation. It's like... I forgot who it was. If I go up to the North Pole and turn on the radio to music and leave, is there music? Nobody there to hear it. The sound waves beating the polar air, but there's no music. There's nobody there to hear it. Okay. So, where there was no one to perceive revelation, no revelation, no removing of the veil, it hasn't occurred. Because no veil has been removed. By definition, revelation requires a someone to apprehend it. And if Bonaventure is right, revelation precedes Scripture and becomes deposited in Scripture, but it is not simply identical with it. This means that revelation is always something greater than what is merely written down. And that is what? It's the living reality existing in us by the act of the Holy Spirit, and it's the reality that we preach, not just the words.